Hello everyone and welcome back to your friendly fighting game podcast, Neutral Game. I am Six Detmar of Scanline Media.
And I am Peter Kovacevic, aka Real Soviet Bear of Real Soviet Bear Enterprises.
And so we're in the midst of just the start of a real intense year of fighting games, of really great releases. We've been talking about mechanics and stuff. But before we dive into, you know, like the games that are going to be coming out, like Cross Tag Battle and Fighting EX Layer and all this great stuff, we want to take a look back at a classic fighting game that neither of us really played at the time, right?
Yep. I have only heard of this game in passing. I have never actually touched it or even seen it until this week.
Oh, that's interesting. You hadn't even seen, like, some competitive play or anything of it?
Never anything. I have only seen, like, a screenshot of it, maybe. But I couldn't tell it apart from the other more popular game.
Huh. So what we played was Street Fighter Alpha 3, of course the third entry in the Street Fighter Alpha series, which is the sort of, like, prequel series made after Street Fighter 2, before Street Fighter 3 and 4. And it's a strange... So we played the last arcade release, which means it had 28 characters instead of the, like, 10 more characters that were eventually added in home releases. And it's really interestingly positioned in the continuum of Street Fighter games to me, because it doesn't feel like any other Street Fighter I've played.
Yeah, it feels more like a Darkstalkers or even SNK game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even I guess, like, this must predate Capcom versus SNK, right?
It has to, yeah. This was a Saturn game, I think.
So, I'm sure there is other precedent, but I was introduced to the concept of the Groove system through Capcom versus SNK, and Street Fighter Alpha series has the isms, which predate that. So it's sort of that period where I feel like fighting games were experimenting with, like, having multiple, like, systems and approaches to the same mechanics within them, which is interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of a way of, I think from what I've read up, it seems like a lot of the isms were actually, ways of taking old versions or old systems from previous Alpha games, so like Alpha 1 and 2, to be able to have it to carry over to 3 so it doesn't feel like a completely new game. Because a lot of the mechanics that are in, for example, the V-ism, if I remember correctly, one is completely new to Street Fighter Alpha 3. The V-ism is from Alpha 1 or 2, and then the X-ism was meant to be more representative of Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
I see.
Because you had people coming over either from Street Fighter 2, which was the more, you know, popular Street Fighter, or you had people coming from the previous Alpha games into Alpha 3. Mm-hmm. But what it effectively ended up making is this weird loadout where for each character you kind of get about 2 characters worth, I'd say. Or maybe, like, I don't know how it plays on, like, a higher level, but generally games with multiple loadouts do let you deal with bad matchups. Like, oh, it's still the same character, but because he's a bit different, I can pick this ism and make him fare better against a certain character that's a hard matchup.
From what I've seen of pro play, which I haven't seen very much competitive play of Alpha 3, but I have seen a decent chunk, and it seems like V-ism is just all anyone picks at a higher level. But, you know, that said, I mean, it's an interesting experiment, and it's interesting to approach now as, like, I feel like for a lot of people who are way into fighting games, like, it's hard to be into fighting games and not have experience and opinions on Street Fighter. And it's weird to sort of jump back into the middle of its history. So, like, what's your history like with Street Fighter?
So I've always been in the anti-Street Fighter camp, as in not that I'm against it, but every time Street Fighter was out with a different fighting game as a competitor, I kind of always went to the other fighting game. So during Street Fighter 2, I played Mortal Kombat. And then during, like, Street Fighter 3 era, I played Guilty Gear. And then during Street Fighter 4, that was probably the only time I jumped into it because there wasn't really anything else going on until Blaze Blue came out, and then I went to Blaze Blue, and then Street Fighter V came out, and I tried that, and I kind of tried each Street Fighter, but I never really enjoyed it. It's just not my thing. But this one is quite different in terms of speed and feel. And I generally just play Ryu or Dan because they're kind of safe bets. You know, with Ryu, you know you're getting something well-rounded, and with Dan, you know you're getting something very bad. So it was interesting testing out both of those characters in this game.
So for me, I think I've probably told the story on the podcast before, but Super Street Fighter IV was the game that got me really into fighting games. Like, when I was younger, you know, I played a little bit of Street Fighter II like any asshole with a console. I was just like, oh, I'll play a little arcade mode. This is too hard. How do you do fireballs? And then, you know, I played a little bit of Tekken and stuff, but, like, I never really knew what I was doing. And then I was, like, on a budget, unable to really afford very many video games, and Capcom put out this trailer being like, here's Super Street Fighter IV, it has all these characters, and it's $30, you can't afford not to buy it. And I was like, you're right, I can't. And so I bought it, and I ended up putting 500 hours into that game. That was the first fighting game I got serious about, and probably still the one I've played the most, and it informed a lot of my opinions on the genre. And then I started playing other fighting games, and I kind of had this slow realization that I really, though Street Fighter IV is the game that taught me to love fighting games, it also represents a lot of what I dislike about fighting games. I don't think Street Fighter IV is a great fighting game, and in fact, as I've played other Street Fighters, I think 3 is the only one that I really think is a great game. I have a lot of beef with Street Fighter these days.
I mean,
but also a lot of history.
I mean, for me, it's like, it's not that it represents a lot of things I don't like about fighting games. It is this extremely influential, mainstream, biggest fighting game ever. Well, not biggest. I think Tekken is technically bigger sales-wise, but it's still like this big, influential monolith. And I've never really been able to click with it because it was always either too slow or too clunky, or I just didn't like the character designs. So, I know a lot of people quoted Street Fighter Third Strike as, you know, the quintessential one, and I played that one for, I think, about 2 hours total and liked it, but the only reason I played it for so little is because I got really late on that train, so I played the PlayStation 3 remaster of it. But with this one, it's... I kind of almost feel like nobody really talks that much about Alpha because Alpha is so different from the rest of the series, and because it's so different, it is probably why I actually enjoyed playing it for the, you know, hour or two that we messed around with it.
Yeah, it's a very... I mean, you put it before, it feels a lot more like an SNK game. It feels like a period where... I don't know, it came out when Capcom was making a lot of fighting games. And I think they were getting a little more experimental with the form, in ways. And yeah, it leads to experiments like the isms. It leads to the fastest paced Street Fighter game I've ever played. It leads to a really, like, the beginning of a more eclectic cast that isn't just racial stereotypes. Not just racial stereotypes. Street Fighter characters.
it feels like this weird cross section of here's Street Fighter franchise merging with the Final Fight franchise, and they're in their own game almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of those characters were added with Alpha. So I don't know, like. I guess first off, just tackling like. With like, a lot of these characters are characters that we've played since, like, you know, we may not have played a ton of them, the both of us, but we've played 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. And there are characters in this that aren't in those, but a lot of them are, you know, we see Armika in Street Fighter 5. We see Karen in 5. We see, you know, like, Cody. How is it, like, for you going back to try these characters and seeing these previous designs in a game that's very differently paced?
It feels like it's this weird, like... It feels like they're trying to branch out and cover archetypes and general playstyles that they haven't, like, fully covered before, if that makes sense. Like, a lot of the main Street Fighter 2 cast is kind of very, like, archetypical. And then a lot of the characters in Alpha, like, I don't know, like, Rolento, Cody, and, like, folks like that, they just feel like they're this hybrid style, or they have this, like, unique gimmicks that aren't that common in Street Fighter for me. Mm-hmm. So in that way, it feels, like, more refreshing. And I think just, like, the design of them looks more appealing. Like, whenever I go through Street Fighter 2's cast, like you said, it's just, like, racial stereotypes. But when you go, like, through Alpha, it feels like they kind of, like, set the base for what would eventually evolve into Third Strike, or, you know, the more diverse cast of... well, 4 wasn't, like, more diverse cast. 4 was more, like, everybody. And then 5 is kind of like now, hey, we're... 5 kind of looks, like, design-wise, 5 seems to have, like, the most Alpha feel in terms of just, like, character looks.
Yeah. I feel like both 5 and Alpha are both these really, like, colorful, like, energetic games, you know? Like, I mean, the announcer in Alpha feels like he's having the time of his life. And, like, there's, like, you know, just, like bright neon colors everywhere, and the character designs are really energetic. And I feel like a lot of that is true in 5 as well.
Yeah, like 5, like, even though I don't like the cast that much, 5 still has, you know, it has the classic characters, aka, like, racial stereotypes, but you see that kind of they tone down and evolve the characters, you know, like, hey, Cody's here now, but he's no longer a convict, he's, like, you know, the mayor, and, like, here's Guile, and, you know, he doesn't look like an army grunt, he actually has, you know, advanced in the army. It feels like all of these characters have kind of evolved and grown, mm-hmm. and they haven't just, like, doubled down on, oh, yeah, they're, you know, hey, here's the funny Russian guy, he's still the funny Russian guy, huh?
Though they did also kind of just make Zangief the funny Russian guy again.
Yeah, they did.
In that particular instance.
In that particular instance, yeah, but they didn't do that for everybody.
Yeah, no, I think generally I totally agree. But so that's as far as, like, the cast and stuff. But, like, I don't know, like, I guess we can work around it as much as we want, but I really want to know how you found the ISMS system.
I think it's very good, and also I think that I'm not surprised that the VEism seems to be the most popular one in tournaments. And to give a quick rundown to folks, the three isms are X-ism, which is closest to Street Fighter 2. So it's like, usually what they do is they change how your super meter works, but they also change how your character's moves work. Like, they either do more damage and take more damage, or they're faster, or they can air block, or that certain characters get unique moves, things like that. Mm-hmm. And in a way, like, I like the idea of, oh, you can choose the playstyle you want. And it's obvious that X-ism, which is the simple super bar and more damage dealt, is the easy mode, aka I just started playing, I don't want to be overwhelmed. And then the standard is this well balance of meter and stats, and then the V-ism is, oh, hey, here's ridiculous combos and stuff you can do with your character, and that's obviously meant for high-level play. So I almost mm-hmm. wonder whether their idea was for people who play the game eventually all to end up with V-ism, or whether they wanted to give just different choices to different audiences, but it ended up turning into, oh, everybody's just gonna get go to the most advanced one anyway. And the V-ism is kind of ridiculous, with its super meter special, where you spawn a million shadow clones and they just repeat everything you do, including projectiles, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, if you have frame of reference for Street Fighter 3, but not Alpha, If you're familiar with Yun's classic super, Genagen, which also is in Street Fighter 4, where he has, yeah, he has a clone who, like, duplicates his moves on a little bit of a time lapse. Genagen is a nerfed version of this, and everyone has it. Watching this game played on a competitive level, there are a lot of touch of death combos. And they're very easy. They're very easy. I saw Justin Wong, like, so he barely eked out a victory the first round of a match, and then, you know, had full super meter going into the next round. So he got, like, a low fierce punch, hit custom combo, and did, he's on Sagat, so he does tiger shot, tiger knee, tiger shot, tiger knee, tiger shot, tiger knee, until the person is dead.
Yeah.
And it's broken. It's broken.
Yeah, I mean, when we played it, and I activated it, and we didn't really know what it was, I ended up taking, like, what, 70% of your health bar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did, at one point you did a combo that was Hadouken into Hadouken into Hadouken into Hadouken into Hadouken, and I wasn't even mad, I was just kind of incredulous.
Well, it was all of that, and also I crossed you up and jumped over you and then started meleeing you.
Yeah, it was, you got a hang of it much more quickly than I did. I just tried to hit buttons way too fast whenever I activated it, but even so, it's just like, it's, I like the idea, but they really just went way too hard in the paint with that one.
Yeah. I think they also like the idea, which is why they kept it for a single character in a very, nerfed variant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I like the mechanic, and I kind of wish that, oh, you know, if we ever got, you know, Street Fighter Beta or Gamma or whatever, that they would bring that back in a more controlled way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's also a neat option for mixing people up, as we discovered, because it's like, if you don't have an opening, but you have enough space to activate it and then to start doing cross-ups, it's very hard to block that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, to be fair, though, it's also very easy to prevent it, because as soon as you take damage while in that mode, you leave it. So if somebody does a proper, mm-hmm. like, poke or anti-air, you basically waste it. And that happened a lot in our matches as well. Like, we get cocky, activated it, and really get nothing from it.
Yeah, we definitely learned to poke each other out of trying to use it for openings.
Yeah. But because you could, like, combo into it, that became a non-issue after we learned that poking out of it was easy.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But you played Cody, so how do you feel about Cody's representation in Alpha?
It's interesting. Cody was my original Street Fighter 4 main. Cody is, so I guess I probably, I didn't realize this until thinking about it just now, but I probably have around 100 hours of experience with Cody. Wow. So it's really weird playing Cody when he doesn't, when I have such a specific, like, not even like, oh, I played him all through Street Fighter 4. I played him in Super only. I didn't play him in Arcade Edition or Arcade Edition 2012. Just this one version of the game. I know Cody incredibly well. And he's very similar, of course, in a lot of ways, but there are little tools that are missing and also little things that are different that just, I don't know. He's a really fun character to play. He's another one of those examples of them, like, experimenting with the design of fighting games in a way that is really, like, so anytime you play a match with Cody, there is a knife lying in the dead middle of the stage, and Cody can go pick it up. His opponent cannot. And it just changes Cody to this character where you want to control the middle of the stage to have more access to, like, you know, different options. And it's a really interesting mechanic, and they actually make way better use of it in Alpha than they ever did in 4.
Oh?
In 4, so what happens when you pick up the knife is, so Cody has a move called Badstone, where he throws a rock. It's his fireball. If he's holding the knife, he'll throw the knife instead. It does a little more damage, and it does better chip. And also it has a little better, like, of an arc. And it also changes all of his, like, his fierce punch and some of his medium punch normals. to use the knife. And in Street Fighter 4, they're just across the board worse than his normals without his knife. They do a little more damage. They have worse range. They don't really do any chip. They have, like, worse part. They're just bad. You only ever pick up the knife to throw it, which made it kind of pointless. A lot of Cody's just ignored that the knife existed. And in Alpha, as I feel like I got to show you, the knife is quite good. The normals are very fast. They do decent chip. They have great, they have better frame advantage, and you're able to do some really successful pressure with a knife. And it made his tool set make a lot more sense to me. And then also there's his V-ism ability, which is, I guess, only in Alpha 3, like no other version of Cody that I know of has this. When you pick Cody in V-ism, it gives him a new move where if you hold block, you don't block, you just dodge. And I think you get slightly faster recovery on stuff, and also you don't take any chip damage.
Yeah, that looked very weird when I saw it. Yeah.
We spent a round of me just, not understanding what was happening.
Yeah, it looked to me it looked like you were doing, a dodge input, but no, it was actually a block replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I played, I played in 4, maybe the 23 hours that I had playtime total. I played Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And playing him in Alpha made me realize how, much they tried to make Dan a better character in 4. Because in Alpha, mm-hmm. he is just ridiculously bad. The specials aren't even worth doing. So he's basically a Ryu, with a different, down back kick move and useless normals, or useless supers, supers and specials. It's just, you just do the normals. It's like Ryu without the special moves.
Mm-hmm.
But it still has that little air of, oh, he is so bad that, it's kinda endearing how, much he tries to win. And it was funny because he was a character I used to beat your win streak.
Yeah, I had a decent one going with Cody, and then finally Dan was the one able to break it up.
I mean, what he lacks in damage, he makes up for in spirit.
Mm-hmm. And there's also, this is not really so much an Alpha idea as just an idea that's, I feel like, universal across fighting games, which is sometimes, especially with newer games, you get really obsessed with, trying to learn the ins and outs of, specials and setups and supers. And when you're given someone where those don't work, right? You're like, oh, I can't execute these moves. Or, oh, I just don't know what this person's inputs are. And you're forced to just focus on normals and spacing. You play way better.
Yeah, that's kind of what I mostly do. I think that's why I get a lot of mileage out of Dan in general. Because I focus a lot on good normal usage in fighting games.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps a lot when you don't rely too much on either specials or supers. When you have a character that's, structured like that. But otherwise, I played mostly Ryu. I tried a bit, of Sodom, and that was very unfortunate because he's some weird parry Rekka grappler that I just couldn't figure out.
Yeah, I didn't end up trying him out. I was just listening to you, muse on what are these inputs? Do you ever feel like you figured out how he was supposed to play?
No. And I kind of wish I had if I had the home version of the game, I would probably spend training mode, with that game trying to figure him out because he looks so weird. Not just in visual design, but a character that has a command grab. A character that's basically a grappler, a parry, and I think he's not even a Rekka character. He just has very Rekka looking normal special moves. The big forward overhead slash that he does, it looks like it should go into a similar slash, but it doesn't. It's just, that's just what it is.
Huh.
But If I had more time, I would probably spend trying to figure him out, but I think I would probably end up defaulting to Ryu, as I always do in every Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm. One thing that was interesting, it's been a while since I played a game that had, like, a straightforward, like, guard and guard break kind of gauge. That didn't come up, like, a ton in our play, but it did some, especially when we used, like, custom combo Vism stuff for block strings. Like, what did you end up feeling about that system?
I end up realizing where Blaze Blue Continuum Shift took it from.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, yeah, with the... Did Continuum Shift have the, replenishing but not all the way guard primer thing?
It had guard primers, that guard primers, which every character had a different amount of primers, and as they blocked more, the primers would be consumed on block, and then you had this kind of like game of, hey, this move is still good to use even if the opponent blocks it because it consumes so much primer. And then if you did a burst, the primers would default to just two, regardless how many you had. And I don't think, like, you replenish the entire meter. You just get, like, two back or something like that. And in this one, like, when you consume the guard meter, I think in the same round, your maximum amount of guard decreases permanently.
And it's a lot, like, compared to guard primers, it's a lot easier to deplete someone's guard gauge, so it's good that you get some back. It's good you're not just out for the round.
Yeah. It seems like Alpha had a lot of influence on other fighting games, because it seems like there were a lot of, like, minor things that were a takeaway. Like, for example, the risk gauge in Guilty Gear is kind of like this inverse guard primer, where instead of, like, depleting while guarding, it increases and just makes it worse for you if it's full. Things like that. Like, it feels like there were a lot of things for fighting games that were either taken for specific characters or specific mechanics and played with in games after Alpha.
I mean, even to the point where it's like, this is kind of hilarious in retrospect, right? But, like, I'll play a fighting game, I'll play King of Fighters 13, and it'll be like, oh, and if you, like, do this input while you're blocking, you'll spend some meter and do, like, do a hit that, like, sort of retaliates and knocks them away, and it's called an alpha counter. And my brain was never like, so it's from Street Fighter Alpha. I just never put that together.
Yeah. No, it's pretty ridiculous, and kind of shows how much the Japanese fighting game scene influence each other with various different games. And how that doesn't carry over to the West. Like, I don't think most people think about how much Alpha was influential simply because people kind of glossed over Alpha and even Third Strike in the West.
Yeah, and I feel like there's this, like, we talk about the golden age of fighting games, and then, like, the quote-unquote death of fighting games, you know, when, you know, PS1, PS2 era, when so many fighting games were coming out, and it was like the market was flooded and it couldn't support it, and the genre kind of went into hibernation. And people always talk about that as, like, such a, like a time that, like, killed the community. And I think there's something to it. I think they're not wrong that, like, it was more than the market could bear at the time. But it also was such a period of innovation and different thinking, because fighting games were such this, like, reliable business that a studio like Capcom could make a game like Alpha and have it be this big release with these weird ideas. They could make CVS2, you could make these games that just approached things differently and really push the genre forward.
Yeah, I remember I watched, I think it was a vlog from Maximilian, who covers fighting games. He talked about the Third Strike scene in the US, and how when the game came out, Street Fighter 2 was really popular, but when Street Fighter Third Strike came out, people didn't really understand how to play it until you know, they had, like, players from Japan coming over and actually, like, playing with them, and then they actually understood how all of these, like, weird mechanics worked. So I think, like, that period of oversaturation and hibernation, it was also because it was an oversaturation of a very specific kind of fighting games, like very, like, simple and straightforward fighting games. And then when you had all of this innovation, you didn't really have tutorials in the level they are today. You didn't really have communities connected the way they are today. Like, information flow was much, much more stifled. So, like, if you're playing something like Alpha, you don't really understand the isms or the inputs or, like, just the general game plan of the game, and there's nobody to tell you, and there's no reliable way to find it out, then it's kind of like, yeah, it's not gonna fare well. And whereas now, mm-hmm. we're kind of like, hey, here's the trial version of Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle. Somebody posted a tweet video of 2 minutes showing off some weird, crazy stuff, and you're like, wow, okay, I guess I understand how this game is meant to be played now.
Yeah, and also tutorials are getting, like, you know, not universally, but, like, I mean, you know, we have, like, Arxis doing, like, pretty comprehensive tutorials these days. We have French Bread, who's doing, like, one of the best tutorials I've ever seen. We've got Skullgirls. We're taking teaching way more seriously, and we still have a ways to go, but it's really great how that can help encourage a community.
Yeah, and I think, like, if Alpha, maybe not as it is, but if, like, a game like Street Fighter Alpha were released today, people would probably have a much easier time understanding how it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess I kind of have two questions to close things out, unless you have any other things you want to go over.
No, we can wrap this up slowly.
So I guess the first question is, like, I don't think either of us left that being like, okay, this is going to be our new, like, regular game, right? But, like, how would you, like, do you want to play this more? Do you want to, like, take more of a look around and try out some more of these mechanics and these different character designs and just sort of see more of what Alpha has to offer?
So for me, like, from kind of like a self-educational perspective, this seems like a game when, like, the new releases die down, I would like to spend, like, a month just messing around with it and trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, trying to understand it. But I don't think after that I'd be going back to it in the way of like, how I sometimes go back to Garo or how I sometimes go back to other old fighting games. It's simply mostly because, like, the Street Fighter aesthetic just doesn't appeal to me. But let's say hypothetically, if I bought the Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection, I would probably be most inclined to play Alpha, even after playing, like, maybe 2 hours of, like, Third Strike. I still kind of like Alpha a smidge more.
That's interesting. Man, we got to get you to play more Third Strike.
I should probably play more Third Strike, but it's more like, after playing Dead or Alive for so long, and after playing Hakumen for so long, and then, like, seeing the parries in Third Strike, I just kind of got arrogant about it and was like, this is ridiculous, I'm leaving, I'm going back to the real parry games.
I can understand that perspective to an extent. You gotta think of it more like instant blocking. Just don't take the word parry out of your head, and it's fine.
Yeah, but if I want to do instant blocking, I'll just go play Garo. It's just, like, how my brain works.
But, like, when you instant block with Q, he blocks it and then he brushes off his coat.
That is really sweet.
Yeah, I feel like, so first off, I also would love to do a little more exploring of what Alpha, you know, the systems of Alpha. And I agree with you where it's not like a game where it's like, oh man, I have to hash out a fighting game rivalry over Alpha. It feels more like an exploratory piece, but it also has me sitting here thinking about, like, other fighting games from that era and how much I would love to do some exploring of some of theirs. Like, I mean, even games that I feel like, if I'm allowed to be a little brash, I think are probably bad, like Neo Geo Coliseum, Battle Coliseum. Like, I don't think that's a good game, but it has ideas, and it's like, I want to go back and I want to check out some of these ideas that got kind of washed over because the market was so flooded and there wasn't enough of an audience. I want to see all these different concepts that were tossed out when fighting games were really just rolling.
I'll tell you straight off the bat, from my experience with any video game genre, it's usually the average games that get the most innovative mechanics. A lot of stuff these days that's considered like standard was taken from games that were kind of glossed over because they just had good ideas, but the entire package wasn't as good.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably it for us here. I guess we'll be doing our next episode on Crosstag Battle, right?
Yep, and I think we have enough episodes to, like, do single games for the next, like, 3 or 4 months, maybe? Like, there's Crosstag Battle, yeah, there's Fighting EX Layer, there's maybe Mario Tennis. I need to check that out and see. Mm-hmm.
There might be Pokken. There's stuff. Yeah. It's an exciting time to be a fighting game person, for sure.
So, Six, where can people find us?
Here's the cool thing for me. By the time this episode goes up, which probably will be today, it might be tomorrow, but I will have finished editing a little bumper for the Scanline Media Network, which just promotes all the podcasts that we do. We do so many podcasts now, so I don't have to shout out anything except for you can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. What about you, Mia?
People can find me on twitter.com/MDKII, that's MDK Roman numerals 2, and you can also find me on twitch.tv/RealSweetBear. Aside from that, if you find me at those two places, you can probably find me everywhere else. Not hard to find.
Excellent. Well, until next time, folks, stay safe on block. That's the new sign-off. That's it. I'm not keeping that.
I wasn't informed of this. Bye.
You're listening to a Scanline Media Network podcast. Check out our other podcasts, like Bottle Crow Reborn. So here's the thing, Nick.
Nobody cares.
No.
It's not about that.
You actually convinced me.
Shit.
The Garnet Wager. And immediately we get Yunji being like, so hang on. Why does everyone call Jin-Ho Kong? And Jin-Ho, like, really circuitously explains because they're making fun of me.
Like, it means bean, but it's all, like, small person, and, like, I'm...
Neutral game.
So if you're averse to frame data, you can still play the game. It'll just sometimes take longer to figure some stuff out.
Oops, all anime gaiden. I've known some podcasters with taste, and they're all cowards. Let's talk about today's menu.
Oh my God.
For the Emiya family. Operation Cereal.
Episode 4 yep. was a bit more understandable, but also I continue to sour on these kids. I think they're dicks.
Okay, that's fair.
And our patron-only podcast, Oops All Anime.
And he has the blessed privilege of getting an invite. He shreds it in front of her, looks her in the eye, like touches
wipes
her face,
a tear off of her eye.
Wipes a tear off her eye and goes, I'll kill you.
Visit Scanline Media at scanlinemedia.com and our Patreon at patreon.com/scanlinemedia.